the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
George W. Bush, calling himself a war president, used variations of the words war, terror, kill, and danger more than 70 times in a Meet the Press interview that lasted less than an hour. That represents the use of fear-based wording roughly every 50 seconds. But most Americans don't consider the war on terror the most important issue facing the country. A January poll by the Pew Center showed that only 37% view defense and security as the nation's most pressing concern. A 24-year-old Army petroleum supplier specialist out of Fort Sill, Oklahoma, died of a drug overdose on Father's Day, one of 22 suicides reported among troops in Iraq last year. According to the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs, who discussed the suicides in a briefing last month, this represents a rate of more than 13.5 suicides per 100,000 troops, about 20% higher than the recent Army average of 10.5 to 11. The number cited does not include cases under investigation and also excludes the suicides by soldiers who have returned to the United States. The Federal Election Commission decided yesterday that many of the political committees raising soft money to campaign against George W. Bush are subject to regulation. The FEC voted 4-2 to warn Americans for a Better Country that activities that promote, attack, support, or oppose a federal candidate must be paid for with hard money, a type of political donation that, unlike soft money, has tight restrictions on sources and amounts. Republican National Committee Chairman Ed Gillespie said the ruling will put out of business groups like America Coming Together, the Media Fund, Partnership for America's Families, and the MoveOn.org Voter Fund. Howard Dean's heroic quest for the presidency ended Wednesday as the Democrat, winless in 17 contests, abandoned his bid. Dean did not endorse any of his rivals, and both had kind words for the former candidate, with Edwards saying Dean has energized and revolutionized this race and excited a whole new generation of young people. Kerry told reporters in Ohio that it's impossible not to express admiration and respect for the campaign that he's put together and what he's achieved. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
New Mexico is considering a law that would make all drivers exhale into an alcohol detection device in their cars before they could start the engine. The New Mexico House of Representatives on Monday passed a bill to require an ignition lock that will prevent a car from starting if the driver fails a breath test. Critics of the bill called the cost of the device prohibitive, adding the measure would penalize people who do not drink and drive by forcing them to buy an expensive gadget. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Instead of following America's environmental rules, polluters have found a better deal. Bush & Company lets polluters write their own rules for fun and profit. At issue are long-delayed EPA rules to regulate the amount of toxic mercury spewing out of the smokestacks of some 1,100 coal-fired power plants across America. This airborne mercury is grotesque. It's a neurotoxin that causes brain damage in unborn children and infants. Power plants produce 41% of all industrial mercury contamination, 48 tons a year, and they're presently the only unregulated source of this pollution. So the Bushites have boldly stepped into the breach with new regs that they say will eliminate 70% of mercury emissions by 2018. Progress, right? Hardly. Why 2018? That's 12 years and untold numbers of brain-damaged children down the road. The technology exists today to eliminate 90% of these emissions. But utility lobbyists balked at a more stringent rule, saying that the companies didn't want to incur the expense of the more efficient technology. Bush's EPA not only went along, but actually let a top industry lobbying firm, Latham & Watkins, write much of the language used in the agency's proposed rule, lifting many of the paragraphs verbatim from Latham & Watkins' memos. The head of the EPA's Air Policy Office, Jeffrey Homestead, said the use of the lobbying firm's language was merely the result of an interagency mix-up. "That's not typically the way we do things, borrowing language from other people," Homestead said. What Jeffrey didn't say is that he came to the EPA from, guess where, Latham & Watkins. There's more. The chief counsel of the Air Policy Office also came from Latham & Watkins. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight this corrupt rulemaking process, call the Clean the Rain campaign, 202-797-6692.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Ban ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Ban ji la.
You know everything.
Xie xie.
I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
This time we'll say goodbye to music. Say goodbye to song we can sing. This time we'll say goodbye.
Well, good evening, True Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. We have six programs left after tonight, so if you want to get it said on this program, a program produced by Catherine Bay, Robin Bittman is our announcer. The phone number here, 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. Call if the spirit moves you. And if you'd like to email during the program, MikeDMalloy at earthlink.net. We'll have some comments from Simple Scotty McClellan today. He's still refusing to answer questions about Bush's economy, including questions about the repeated lie that Bush inherited a recession from the longest economic upturn in the history of the Republic. That would be Clinton's period of time in the Oval Office. If Bush wants to create American jobs, he could start by penalizing American companies that send jobs overseas instead of giving them tax breaks to do just that. So typically Republican, these people. And what's up with Mel Gibson's dad? He must be on the verge of a nervous breakdown. We'll get to that in a second. This is in the New York Times today. Maybe you saw it. Another one of those, no, this can't be happening if you believe the Book of Genesis stories. X-ray observations by orbiting satellites have given astronomers their first evidence that appears to confirm what up to this point has only been a theory, that a star is doomed if it ventures too close to a supermassive black hole. Now, black holes were simply mathematical suggestions not that long ago, and they went from that to being, the beasts that they are. NASA and the European Space Agency announced, yesterday, the detection of a brilliant flare of X-rays from the heart of a distant galaxy followed by a fading afterglow. Now, after studying all this, this team of scientists concluded the telescopes had witnessed the overpowering gravity of a black hole as it tore apart a star and gobbled it up. It's known. It has a name. It's called a stellar tidal disruption. Jesus, I would think it'd be a disruption. Now, according to what the scientists have come up with as a result of these observations, this has removed any lingering doubt that the reputation of black holes as star eaters is fully deserved. In a televised news briefing at NASA, Gunther Hassinger, also an astrophysicist at the Max Planck Institute, said, "For the first time, we really are convinced that we are seeing a star being ripped apart by a black hole." An astronomy professor, University of California, Berkeley, Alex Filipenko, agreed. He said, "This is really fantastic. This is very strong evidence that stars are being ripped apart by supermassive black holes." I mean, they, you know, this kind of stuff fascinates me. When you were a kid, a little boy or a little girl, weren't you fascinated by stars and astronomy and so on and so forth? Now, these observations were made 3 years ago by two orbiting X-ray telescopes, NASA's Chandra and the European XMM-Newton satellites. And the photos, if you want to call them that, the images have been studied since then. Dr. Filipenko said the findings show should advance understanding of black holes and provide a critical framework for theoretical models of how they grow and evolve over time. Now, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? This happened allegedly in a galaxy 700 million light years away. Well, right away, you know, there's the lie. That's what means the whole story is fake. The religious fundamentalists can't handle this. I mean, this is just like the trip to the moon. That didn't really happen. That was just on a soundstage in Berkeley, California. To religious fundamentalists, all of this that I just shared with you is impossible. It cannot have happened. Whatever these astronomers and astrophysicists were witnessing was simply something that was going on in their minds. They must have been on drugs. Because there's no such thing as 700 million light years away. It couldn't be. The universe is only 5,000 plus years old. It must be hell being a religious fundamentalist, you know? It just must be awful. Mayor Daley. You gotta love this guy. The mayor of Chicago, when we lived there, it was he was just a hoot. He was an absolute hoot, just the craziest Democrat I've ever come across. He said yesterday he would have no problem if Cook County, that's the Chicago, he would have no problem if the Cook County clerk began issuing marriage license to gay couples, and the clerk David Orr said he's open to this kind of protest against this anti-marriage crap for gay people. Daley said regarding homosexuals, they're your doctors, your lawyers, your journalists, your politicians. They're someone's son or daughter. They're someone's mother or father. I've seen people of the same sex adopt children, have families. They're great parents. Daley went on to say, some people have a difference of opinion that only a man and a woman can get married. But in the long run, we have to understand what they're saying. They love each other just as much as anyone else. Now, Daley, the reason this is important to me is because, first of all, Daley is unique, like his father was. Only Daley doesn't have the mean, bastardly streak that his dad did. Daley is a devout Catholic. So that gives his pronouncements here some added weight, wouldn't you think? Daley scoffed at the suggestion that gay marriage would somehow undermine the institution of marriage between a man and a woman. He went on to say, this is all in the Chicago Sun-Times today. He said, marriage has been undermined by divorce, so don't tell me about marriage. You're not going to lecture me about marriage. People should look at their own life and look in their own mirror. Marriage has been undermined for a number of years if you look at the facts and figures on it. Don't blame the gay and lesbian, transgender and transsexual community. Please don't blame them for it. Daley says he has no control over marriage licenses in Cook County, but if the clerk wants to take that bold step, the mayor has no problem with it. The mayor, David Orr, said he was game to looking at the options, providing a consensus could be built. He said, quote, I'm fed up with people being discriminated against because of their sexual orientation. We can't even pass a law that eliminates discrimination against gay couples. But whatever you do, he says, when it comes to challenging laws, you want to be effective and not knee-jerk. God. Richie Daly. It's incredible. Rick Garcia, who's the political director of Equality Illinois, which is a gay-friendly organization, applauded Richie for taking the lead on this issue of gay marriage in Illinois. Rick Garcia said, no one can accuse Mayor Daly of being some left-wing pinko. It means a lot. It sets a tone. I just, you know, Richie Daly is, he is unique in American politics currently. He really is. He's from, what's the name of that neighborhood, Kathy? Where we used to go see the Chris, Bridgeport, which used to be all Irish and Catholic, Irish and Italian, still a lot of Irish and Italian that live there. Just south of the Loop area. Still heavily segregated, Bridgeport. It's still must still be 95% white in town neighborhood. Been there for a long time. That's where Daly comes from. And the fact that he is a devout conservative Catholic, that's what just cracks me up about his pronouncements here. Speaking of devout conservative Catholics, Mel Gibson. Ooh, what a piece of work this guy's turning out to be. All of a sudden, I've decided I don't like any of his movies anymore. And his old man. God, what is happening with his old man? What's the father's name? Hutton Gibson. Now, first of all, Mel Gibson. Yeah, one thing that's been bothering me, several things, but one thing that's really been bothering me about Gibson's movie on Christ, it's all about the butchery, the execution of Christ. You know, the Protestants are going to see this and coming out, just coming out of the movie, talking about, oh, my God, this is just, oh, it's reaffirmed my faith. This is butchery. This has an R rating. They're taking their kids. You can take your kid to an R-rated movie. You know, you can drag the little 10-year-olds along. You're going to watch this. Shut up. But they're killing them. You shut up. This is Jesus. This is love. This is Christianity. Now shut up. Look what those dirty, filthy Jews, or I'm sorry, Romans are doing. You know, that kind of stuff. This is so sick. It really, really is. I don't know what's sicker. Mel Gibson using the execution of Christ as some way of dealing with his, Mel's, fear of death and guilt, Catholic guilt, and the, just the ugliness of his depression, and oh my God. Or these fundamentalist Protestant preachers and ministers and these people who are just, it's like they're seeing a sex film. They're just all over themselves with, oh, yeah, look at that. Oh, my God. Now, the trailers I've seen, and they're all over the place. You can look anywhere and see this stuff. It's blood. It's misery. It's beating. It's filth. It's awful. It's agony. If Mel Gibson really wanted to make a movie celebrating the glory of Jesus Christ, why didn't he make one showing the man's love, the gentleness, the compassion? Why one that is so violent and dirty and filthy and murderous and painful that it has to carry an R rating for violence? And the kids who are dragged to this film by their evangelical parents, what are they going to take away from watching it? They're either going to be frightened to death or they're going to say, I want no part of this crap. Are you kidding me? I want nothing to do with this. So Mel Gibson just becomes another in a long line of so-called Christians who commit acts of violence against the Christian Messiah. Just acts of bloody, brutal violence. Mel Gibson is another one to beat and bloody and destroy the Christian Messiah. I just wonder how much longer Christians are going to allow this to happen. And he does so in order to deal with his own sense of despair, or you know, he's got $25 million to piss away. Sure, I know. Let me make a movie that shows the brutality and the murder of Christ. That'll make me feel better.
Try to do things that the dad should do since you've been gone. Well, you really let us down. You may be heaven bound, but you've left one hell of a mess here at home. And God may forgive you, but I won't. And yes, Jesus loves you, but I don't.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Show. Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telefar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. He has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you, and that's fine. Okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man, huh?
Who are you, then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday, from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. So Mel Gibson, another in a long line of supposed Christians who brutalizes the body of Christ, the man Jesus Christ, the Christian Messiah, with his movie. And again, like you, unless you are a religious fundamentalist and you have been invited to a private screening to see the whole thing, like you, I've only seen bits and pieces, and it looks exceedingly horrifying. A story of Jesus Christ that is given an R rating. Think about that for a second. Now, if that's not bad enough, Mel Gibson's father, a week before Gibson's filthy, sacrilegious little movie that is just causing the Christian fundamentalists to get all excited. Just a week before it's to hit the theaters, his father, Hutton, has gone on an explosive rant against Jews, claiming that the Jews fabricated the Holocaust and are conspiring to take over the world. Jesus Christ Almighty, how long is this going to go on? How long are these Protestant or Catholic, you know, Christian freaks going to keep this up? What's it been now, 1,500 years, 1,800? How many people on this planet have to die so that these psychopaths can make their charge? Well, it's the Jews that did it! Hutton Gibson, who is 85, of course that might be the explanation right there, said in a radio interview that's going to air Monday night that the Jews are after one world religion and one world government. Oh, Jesus Christ. No, Hutton. No, you're wrong. It's the Muslims who are after that. No, you're wrong. It's the Christians who are after that. The Jews tell both of the other two groups to piss off. Leave them alone. And then Hutton Gibson says that's why the Jews have attacked the Catholic Church so strongly, to ultimately take control over it by their doctrine. I mean, how crazy is this jackass? Now, Mel Gibson was said, hey, your old man is really going off the deep end. What do you think, dude? And he said, well, you know, I don't say anything bad about my father. My father has always told me the truth. Hutton Gibson also said that Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan should be lynched because he's a Jew. And he called for the government to be overthrown. Our government. I thought that was against the law. I didn't know you could do that. Jesus Christ, I've been in radio for 18 years and I've never called for the overthrow of the government because I thought I couldn't. You mean I can? Well, Hutton Gibson, last I heard, is not in federal lockdown. He hasn't been picked up by Oh, that's right. Ashcroft is a fundamentalist Christian. That's right. Ashcroft will be on his knees in front of Hutton Gibson going, yes, sir, you just keep doing it, pal. Gibson was on a program hosted by, oh my God, a Jew, Steve Feuerstein, who hosts some program called Speak Your Peace on WSNR AM. I guess it's in New York. That's a show syndicated by some company called Talkline, which bills itself as the largest syndicator of Jewish programming. Now, Some of Hutton Gibson's most outrageous rants focused on the millions of Jews who were butchered, exterminated by Adolf Hitler. Hutton Gibson said they claimed that there were 6.2 million Jews in Poland before the war, and they claimed afterward there were 200,000. Therefore, he must have killed 6 million of them. Gibson went on to say they simply got up and left. They weren't killed. They were all over the Bronx and Brooklyn and Sydney, Australia and Los Angeles. He said the Germans did not have enough gas to cremate 6 million people and that the concentration camps were just work camps. And he says it's all fiction, or most of it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You see why I despise and loathe organized religion? I guess it's because it attracts psychopaths like these two. Well, he's been telling me that it's gonna be all right. Jesus, he knows me and he knows.
They hate freedom and religious tolerance. They hate Christians and Jews.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Francisco Bay is one of the most unique and important ecosystems in North America, and it's in the middle of one of its biggest population centers. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. San Francisco took its name from the bay it overlooks, and John Hart says that's a clue to the bay's importance. Hart is the author of San Francisco Bay, Portrait of an Estuary.
You can think of it as an intersection of two animal highways. There's the north-south highway of the Pacific Flyway, perhaps the most important stop for shorebirds and for waterfowl. About 1 million individuals of each can be found in the fall and winter. And the other highway is the east-west highway, traversed by anadromous fish and other water creatures.
Salmon pass through the bay as they head into rivers, and a variety of Pacific fish species spawn in the estuary. But the San Francisco Bay Area is a major urban center. It's also a significant agricultural producer and a base of major industries, including shipping, oil refining, and chemicals. On top of all that, recreational use is growing. Hart says all these interests have to share the resource.
San Francisco Bay is not a wilderness, and it never will be a wilderness again. It's got 8 million people living around it. Along with the population, you've got a tremendous amount of industry, tremendous amount of transportation, big ports, all kinds of vested and economic interests that can't just be disapproved of and shrugged aside. We're all here, and we have to work out a way of living with the system.
Hart says San Francisco Bay has been improving since the 1960s, and he says wetland restoration efforts just getting underway will make it even better. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you, don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Doing talk radio right from the left, it's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour, T sent this in. Mike, did you know they're selling nails? That's right, replicas of the nails used to nail Jesus to the cross in conjunction with the Gibson movie. Only about $16 a pop, and you too can wear a bit of biblical memorabilia. What's next, a crown of thorns for the prom? Must these conservative whores put a price on everything? Oh, that's right, they can. Yeah, thanks, T. God, I hate these people. Have I mentioned that yet tonight? I don't think there's anything that disgusts me more than a Christian evangelical right-wing Republican. They are vile. They are just vile. They're anti-life, anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-American, anti-woman, anti-gay, anti-everything except their own freaked-out selves. Now, going back to Hutton Gibson, in the interview, he repeatedly brought up the Jew is a money-grubbing power-monger riff that Hitler used to mobilize the German people against the Jews. He said then, quote, Greenspan tells us what to do. Someone should take him out and hang him, end quote. Now, old man Gibson even belittled the Pope's reported endorsement of the Passion, which has since been disclaimed. The Vatican said, no, that's not true. Gibson put out there that the Pope saw it and said, it is as it was. in reference to the movie. Well, it turns out that's typical right-wing Christian freak-out evangelical horse hockey. If you believe the Vatican, who can you believe anymore, right? But anyway, Pappy, isn't it amazing? Pappy Bush and Baby Bush, Pappy Gibson and Baby Gibson. What the hell is going on here? Is it just Oedipal warfare, I guess? Anyway, the old man here belittled the Pope's reported endorsement of the Passion. He says that his son, Mel, referred to the Pope as an ass. I guess that's because the Pope, this current Pope, you know, speaks, 80 languages and endorses the ideas put out there in Vatican II, which Mel Gibson, apparently Mel Gibson has a direct pipeline to Christ or God or Mary or somebody. And this pipeline between Mel Gibson and the saints or the mother of Jesus or God himself, the pipeline tells Mel Gibson that the Pope is crazy, an ass. That Vatican II was all wrong. Pappy Gibson then said, quote, "Is the Jew still actively anti-Christian? He is, for by being a Jew, he is anti-everyone else," end quote. Now, Mel Gibson's spokesman, somebody named Alan Nyrob, had no comment on the old man's tirade. Abraham Foxman of the Anti-Defamation League did have something to say. He says, these are the words of a classical anti-Semite. Foxman said, if it wasn't so sad, though, it would be funny. And, of course, Gibson refuses to condemn his old man's beliefs. Foxman pointed to a recent interview where Gibson said his father never lied to him. Oh, God. What is it? You know, what is it? What is it with religious fundamentalists? I don't care if they're Christian or Muslim or Hindu. The Jewish fundamentalists are what? The Orthodox Jews? I mean, they're not out there trying to kill people and destroy people who don't become Orthodox Jews. You know what I'm saying? What do they do? What do Orthodox Jews do? Well, they do their Orthodox Judaism thing. When's the last time an Orthodox Jew got in your face and said, "Are you saved?" When's the last time an Orthodox Jew got in your face and said that he's going to kill you for the sake of Allah? Or blow up your house or blow up your country because you are not a Muslim? When's the last time an Orthodox Jew got in your face and said, "I'm going to slit your throat because I'm a Hindu fundamentalist and you are wrong"? Orthodox Jews don't do anything except be Orthodox Jews. They don't even believe in the state of Israel. Because to an Orthodox Jew, the state of Israel can only be founded by the Messiah. And the Messiah hasn't deemed it time to come yet. I hate religion. I despise it. I revile it. But mostly fundamentalist religion, whether it is Christian, Muslim, or Hindu. The Buddhists, you know, the Buddhists don't. The Orthodox Jews don't. It's these other three. What is wrong with you people? What is wrong with you people? That pasty-faced bastard I was on Fox with, Hugh Hewitt, bills himself, bills himself as a Christian talk show host. What is that? Does that mean he spews more hatred than a non-Christian talk show host? God, these people are evil. It's beyond their stupidity. It's beyond the fact that these fundamentalists can't look at a news report about a black hole gobbling up a star 700 million light years from here. You know, they can't even handle that. They look at that and go, that's not true. 700 million light years, that's impossible. Yeah, everything was formed. And besides, God wouldn't let a black hole exist. Gobble up a star, what's up with that? No, don't send me an email telling me that I don't appreciate spirituality. The difference between spirituality and what passes for evangelical Christianity or fundamentalist Islam or fundamentalist Hinduism, the difference between those three on one side and spirituality on the other is the difference between darkness and light.
But this story about Mel Gibson's father, how sick is this? Now, Keith Olbermann brought this up tonight on his program on MSNBC. And the question was raised, maybe this is just, maybe the old man is just trying to jack up publicity for his son's movie. Well, that would be true, except for the old man has a book out. The old man has always been just a classic anti-Semite, a classic anti-Semite. And what's up with you Catholic fundamentalists? How's come most of you are anti-Semitic? I'm serious. Why is it most anti-Semitism, overt anti-Semitism, comes from Catholics? What's up with that? Is it because of the Christ killer thing? Even though your Pope told you 40 years ago that that's nonsense, you can't get over it? As far as fundamentalist Christians, at least the Catholics are not hypocritical. They come right out and say, well, he's okay. Jews are Christ killers. Fundamentalist Catholics say that. Fundamentalist Protestants, on the other hand, they will use Jewish people. Oh, I support the state of Israel. Yes, let's go over there and kill all Palestinians. Let's kill everybody because I support the state of Israel. Knowing full well, these hypocritical bastards, that their twisted interpretation of the Bible dictates to them that when the day of judgment comes, any Jew who does not accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah will be put to death. And these fundamentalist Christians will be proud to take the sword and slit the throat of the nearest Jew. What is up with you people? If I could be God of the universe for one God day, oh, boy, would I clean out this sump pump of a human race. Oh, would I clean it out. Where's Mark Twain when you really need him, huh? Anybody have any comments on this? Mel Gibson, his dad, this filthy movie, these right-wing religious freak conservatives who are destroying this country, destroying the planet. Don't y'all have anything to say? Oh, I know, we should be talking about Bush and Kerry and Dean and, which is the greater threat? Bush is part of this. Bush is a psychopathic religious nut just like Mel Gibson and his sick father are. And this filthy, disgusting movie is about to open. And all these mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging, right-wing Christians are going to go in and see this violence. You know, you take these people in to see a movie about people having sex, and they will do anything they can to get the movie shut down. But let them see the scourging and beating and lacerating and tearing of the body of Jesus Christ and the nailing up and the pounding and the blood and the dirt and the filth and the excrement and the vomit and the puke. And they'll take their kids in and they'll say, oh, now look, Billy, look, Susie, this is our Lord and Savior being beaten to death by the Jew. By the dirty Jew. See, there they are, the Sanhedrin. The Jew did this to our Lord and Savior, Billy, Susie. What do you think of that? And not only are they Jews, they're probably homosexual Jews. So all these mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging Christians, right, are going to go see this filthy, disgusting, contemptible rape of Jesus Christ. It's a rape. It's a rape. It's an anal rape of Jesus Christ. And it's been put together by Mel Gibson. Is that the story Mel Gibson wants to tell? Apparently it is. That's a story that's going to break on an unsuspecting population on what, Ash Wednesday? I don't need a Shrove Tuesday? I don't know what these dates are. I have no idea what's what in the Christian faith. What a filthy display of Christ murder. One more time. Bad enough the Romans did it. Bad enough the Sanhedrin was involved in it. Now a fundamentalist, freaked out, psychopathic Catholic like Mel Gibson has also got to involve himself in the butchery and the murder of the man called Jesus. You people are sick. You are disgusting. You fundamentalists are disgusting. It's just unbelievable.
Come on, Susie. Come on, Johnny. We're going to go see Jesus be torn to shreds by the dirty Jew. Come on, children. Let's go watch. Oh, it's going to be intense.
I don't want to see it.
Yes, you need to see Jesus, our Lord and Savior, being ripped into a million pieces. You need to see the anguish.
Well, why?
Well, because, you need to see it because, this is what will happen to you if you're not a good little boy or a good little girl. Sick bastards. All right. I'm finishing my rant. Jerry is calling from Tulsa. God, I hate these people.
Yeah, good evening, Mike.
Oh, hi, Jerry.
I'm glad I got a better connection this time, or at least I hope I do.
Yes, you do.
Oh, thank God. You know, I don't... people that claim to have a line to God...
Yeah.
Like
George Bush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say that I got a line to the devil, so...
You do.
Or they claim that.
You remember when too stupid to be president said to the one of the Israeli government officials, or no, it was a newspaper reporter, I believe, that God had told him to bomb Afghanistan and God had told him to invade Iraq.
Right.
Now, you know, if you go kill somebody, George Bush killed 3,000, 10,000, 15,000 people. If you go kill one person, Jerry, and say that God told you to do it, they'll commit your ass, and once you're well, they'll execute you. George Bush, though, it's cool, I guess.
Well, that's what there's a really good comedian, Eddie Izzard. Have you ever listened to him?
Who?
Eddie Izzard, British comedian, a drag queen.
No, I have not that I'm aware of.
He used to have a thing on HBO, an hour-long special, where he talks just about this, and his point during one of his monologues was that you kill just a few people, you're a murderer, you'll get sent to death. You kill tens of thousands of people.
And you're a national hero or something?
And you're a national hero. And he pointed out, like, Pol Pot, you know, just went through the list, and most of the main murderers are still alive today.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, getting back to something you were talking about earlier, if fossils are an elaborate hoax due to evolution and a satanic conspiracy,
yeah,
then how do they rationalize putting gas in their cars and getting to work in the morning?
Well, that doesn't come. You're making the allusion to the fact
fossil fuel.
Well, no, that it's not fossil fuel. It comes from your neighborhood QT or Texaco or Standard Oil of
right. But isn't it frightening at all to anyone that the people in control of the fossil fuel industry don't even believe in evolution? Well, what is that, Mike?
That's religious insanity.
It's religious insanity.
That's why I hate these people with a passion that is deeper than any love I've ever felt for anything, except my wife and my children.
This is kind of an aside, but this is bringing science a little bit into religion. Did you know that in Mecca, you know that black thing that they all kind of go around to worship?
The rock, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that rock is?
That's Satan, isn't it?
Yes, it is Satan.
Yeah.
It's Lucifer, because you know what that rock is?
I do know, and I've forgotten. Say it.
It's a meteor.
Oh, it's a meteor? I didn't know that.
Yes, it's a meteor.
Oh, my God.
No, that's absolutely right. And again, the legends of Satan, Lucifer, wanting to be the angel who tried to reach the aspiration of God, and God threw him down to the ground, or, you know, threw him into hell or whatever.
Oh,
I see. And again, what's really wild is all these world religious myths kind of fold one into the other.
Mm-hmm. Sure they do.
Well, which gets me back to Mel Gibson's dad.
Well, I'll tell you what. I got to hear what you got to say about Mel Gibson's dad, but I have to take a break. So I'll put you on hold, Jerry. We'll come back, and I'll give you another minute, okay? We're at 800-TALK-YES with two open lines. If you want to get something said, call us. I'm Mike Malloy.
From those fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media, then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it. Stop surfing and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
Yeah.
never use God to promote foreign policy decisions.
Five before the hour, I'm off on a tear about this Mel Gibson and his pappy, his movie and his father's rant that the Holocaust never occurred and the usual crazy stuff. We're talking with Jerry in Tulsa. Jerry, go ahead and give you another minute or so.
Okay. A couple of years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, when Mel Gibson was doing like the movie Patriot and Conspiracy Theory, people were then starting to talk about, you know, Mel Gibson and notice, point out that the type of roles he plays are always very anti-authoritarian.
Right, right.
And about that time, I actually, I've been a shortwave radio listener. I used to hear his father do these shortwave radio shows where he was talking just about this, what you're talking about.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And I've enjoyed, although they always leave me depressed, Mel Gibson movies. They're, mm-hmm. you know, Braveheart was one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yes, he's a terrific actor. And I'm along with him in terms of being anti-authoritarian, but I'm with you in terms of, you know, you've really got to put a lot of your thoughts in check or whatnot. Now then, about a year or two ago, just after 9/11, when I was looking around on websites, there were people that were putting out the theory that about the Pentagon planes.
Right, right, right.
And, okay, now then, the people putting that out were part of this group that I believe Mel Gibson and his father are part of,
mm-hmm.
and it's this French, it's this ultra-Orthodox Catholic sect that wants to reinstate the type of penitence people practiced in the Middle Ages.
Scourging and beating and whipping. And
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're a subsect of the French monarchy. That's the other thing that they're about. And they want to go back and they want to refight the Hundred Years' War, whatever those wars were.
Yeah, Jerry, you know, I just wish I had money. I wish I would have handled my life better so I could have money to go buy a farm somewhere up here in the North Georgia Mountains and get a few horses and never have a radio or TV, just have lots of CDs and favorite videotapes and just ride my horse and oh, God.
Well, Mike, just real quick, can I cover one last thing we
okay.
talked about?
Like, all right, quick.
Very quickly. You talked about couldn't get a hold of Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
And read chapter 4.
Yeah.
The chapter is only 20 pages long.
Okay.
So go to Barnes & Noble or Borders where they have one of those couches.
Yeah.
Take it off the shelf, okay. Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire by Gibbons.
Right.
And read chapter 4. It's only 20 or 22 pages long. You can do it in one setting. It's what happens when empires fall because of money.
All right. All right. I'll try to do it. Jerry, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. All right, quick break. We'll be back. For you folks on hold, Josh, a trucker, Jeremy, Pat, a trucker, Doug, we'll get you called. Just stay there. Stay there. We'll keep this topic alive a little bit longer. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. George W. Bush, calling himself a war president, used variations of the words war, terror, kill, and danger more than 70 times in a Meet the Press interview that lasted less than an hour. That represents the use of fear-based wording roughly every 50 seconds. But most Americans don't consider the war on terror the most important issue facing the country. A January poll by the Pew Center showed that only 37% view defense and security as the nation's most pressing concern. 35% list the economy, while nearly 20% list other domestic issues as the most important. The Federal Election Commission decided yesterday that many of the political committees raising soft money to campaign against George W. Bush are subject to regulation. The FEC voted 4-2 to warn Americans for a Better Country that activities that promote, attack, support, or oppose a federal candidate must be paid for with hard money, a type of political donation that, unlike soft money, has tight restrictions on sources and amounts. Republican National Committee Chairman Ed Gillespie said the ruling will put out of business groups like America Coming Together, the Media Fund, Partnership for America's Families, and the MoveOn.org Voter Fund. All are pro-democratic groups organized under Section 527 of the tax code. A 24-year-old Army Petroleum Supply Specialist out of Fort Sill, Oklahoma, died of a drug overdose on Father's Day, one of 22 suicides reported among troops in Iraq last year. According to the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs, who discussed the suicides in a briefing last month, this represents a rate of more than 13.5 suicides per 100,000 troops, about 20% higher than the recent Army average of 10.5 to 11. The number cited does not include cases under investigation and also excludes the suicides by soldiers who have returned to the United States. In its weekly report on the treatment of returning battlefield soldiers, the hospital never mentioned the suicides. The Pentagon plans to release the findings of a team sent to Iraq last fall to investigate the mental health of the troops, including suicides.
More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
An advertisement for a talking dartboard featuring a cartoon of a topless woman with targets over her breasts was condemned by Britain's advertising watchdog for condoning violence against women. The ad, which appeared in the Burton Menswear catalog, included text inviting players to hit the target and a squeal with delight. Arcadia Group Brands, which owns Burton, said they had received 22 complaints about the ad, but added that the dartboard was one of a number of adult-themed novelty items for sale during the Christmas period and had been extremely popular.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Instead of following America's environmental rules, polluters have found a better deal. Bush & Company lets polluters write their own rules for fun and profit. At issue are long-delayed EPA rules to regulate the amount of toxic mercury spewing out of the smokestacks of some 1,100 coal-fired power plants across America. This airborne mercury is grotesque. It's a neurotoxin that causes brain damage in unborn children and infants. Power plants produce 41% of all industrial mercury contamination, 48 tons a year, and they're presently the only unregulated source of this pollution. So the Bushites have boldly stepped into the breach with new regs that they say will eliminate 70% of mercury emissions by 2018. Progress, right? Hardly. Why 2018? That's 12 years and untold numbers of brain-damaged children down the road. The technology exists today to eliminate 90% of these emissions. But utility lobbyists balked at a more stringent rule, saying that the companies didn't want to incur the expense of the more efficient technology.
Bush's EPA not only went along, but actually let a top industry lobbying firm, Latham & Watkins, write much of the language used in the agency's proposed rule, lifting many of the paragraphs verbatim from Latham & Watkins' memos. The head of the EPA's Air Policy Office, Jeffrey Homestead, said the use of the lobbying firm's language was merely the result of an interagency mix-up. "That's not typically the way we do things, borrowing language from other people," Homestead said. What Jeffrey didn't say is that he came to the EPA from, guess where? Latham & Watkins. There's more. The chief counsel of the Air Policy Office also came from Latham & Watkins. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight this corrupt rulemaking process, call the Clean the Rain campaign, 202-797-6692.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you're out there somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll reach the earth.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see me.
Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. Okay, I'm going to get to your phone calls right after. I got several emails here, and I'd like to read them all, but I can't. But there's a couple here very quickly. Just one, and then to your calls. This is from Lee. Mike, this is an email I sent to my fiancée today. We had planned to see the Mel Gibson movie. She's Catholic. Here it is. I heard a long critique from the BBC today about the Gibson Jesus movie and decided I don't want to see it now that I understand where it's coming from. There was an heretical movement in the second century that raised the obvious question that any kid would raise, which is, if Jesus was God, why didn't he rescue himself from being crucified? Why couldn't he have simply lifted sins from people without having to go through a crucifixion? Why would God find it necessary to kill himself to get people to believe in what is right? They are just as good questions today as they were at the time. In any event, these heretical scum were snuffed out for raising such good questions. And to set the masses straight, the church invented the incredible idea of the passion, that being destroyed on the cross in a most horrific way was a wonderful act of love. And the more blood and misery, the more love. This meant that an act that no one could understand logically, which is the crucifixion of God, was carried out deliberately by God. And therefore, it becomes something one calls a passion. You still see the banality of this idea in those awful, cheap pictures of Jesus holding his heart with a knife through it. A true believer has to be moved by this ugly, meaningless image, even though he or she doesn't understand why, and never will, because there simply isn't an explanation that would make sense. This aspect of Catholicism, along with the literal drinking of blood, is for me a disturbing and ugly distortion of the Christian faith. It also appeals to people who love violence in a pornographic way. I'm sure Hannibal Lecter loves the idea of the literal Eucharist. Well, that is what Mel Boy has done. He has produced a type of Arnold Schwarzenegger, a Jew hater like Mel Gibson, slasher movie about the crucifixion. The redder the blood, the deeper the passion. In other words, it is pornographic sacrilege rubbish made by a disturbed man and not a serious inquiry into the life and beliefs of Jesus, whom I honor even though I don't believe he is the Son of God. Yeah, much more eloquent Lee's email here than I. More eloquent than I. Much more eloquent than I. But the feeling is pretty much the same. I don't get the... I didn't when I was a child, being raised by a grandmother, not raised by, but spending a lot of time almost raised by a grandmother who was a part of a Southern Baptist congregation. She also believed in all this bloody, crazy death and fire and soul death, but not quite dead, just suffer for all eternity. Oh, my God. And I couldn't understand it, and I rejected it. Even at a young age, I just said, no, pass, you know, I'll take the abyss. I'll take the end of consciousness, just give that to me. I don't want this crazy crap. And then when I got older, I realized it wasn't just Protestantism that was psychopathic. It was also Catholicism, maybe even more so. And then, as I took comparative religion courses and started studying about religious wars, it became even more clear that Hinduism was equally sick and degenerate, and that Islam also. Now, a lot of people say, well, Mike, that's not what Christianity, that's not what Islam, that's not what Hinduism teaches. They're very, very pacific religions and gentle religions. And, you know, I go back to what I was taught as a kid. If it quacks like a duck and walks like a duck and looks like a duck, it is a duck. These religions to me are nothing more than different philosophies on how to destroy your fellow human being and do it righteously. Do it in a way that this demonic God will look down in favor and say, oh, that's good. You killed another 10,000 today? Good, good, good for you. Good for you. You crossed over into Canaan land and slew the Canaanites. You didn't leave a single one living. Now, I said the Jews don't do this. Well, the Old Testament Jews did. Of course they did. They'd butcher anybody that came within 20 feet of them. Maybe rightly so, since they had come out of slavery. I don't know. Who knows? I reject it all. To me, it's mythological horse crap that makes living on this planet more tense, more nervous, and more anxiety-ridden. And here we are in the first part of the 21st century, with a religious fanatic in the Oval Office and a religious fanatic sending suicide bombers to this country, and we are engaged in a holy war in the 21st century with a fanatic in the White House that doesn't even believe in the theories of natural selection. How in the hell can George Bush talk about going to the moon or Mars? Well, obviously, it's just something to divert attention when it's impossible for the moon and Mars to be there. They don't exist. How could they exist? Because they would indicate something older than 5,000 years, and that can't be. But this thing with Mel Gibson and his brain-dead father, and you don't cut slack for somebody just because they're 85 and they're walking around talking about the Jews that killed Christ or there was no Holocaust or Hitler didn't have enough gas. How sick is this son of a bitch? How sick is that? All right. Josh, one of our over-the-road truckers, listening on Sirius, calling from somewhere in California. Hey, Josh.
Mike, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. It's great to talk to you finally. I guess this would be an appropriate time to tell you about the new Church of Molloy I was thinking about starting.
don't you even.
okay. Well, I love your show, man. I bought Sirius several months ago, and didn't even know you guys existed, and it was like coming out of a long, dark night of the soul for me.
Yeah, I hear that.
Media-wise, thanks for your great show. I've been highly entertained.
Well, you're welcome.
and I'm sure going to miss it. I really hope that I can hear you again somewhere.
We'll wind up someplace. I'm reasonably sure of that. I don't know where, but we'll wind up somewhere.
Well, it's an honor to talk to you, man. Thanks a lot.
Oh, well, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you, Josh, for calling in.
Take it easy.
All right, sir. You too. Jeremy is calling from State College, PA. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Mike. What's up?
You are.
Yeah. The whole Mel Gibson movie thing. Believe me, I agree with you about religion to a T, and I am not a fundamentalist Christian. But I still want to go see it just because I just want to make up my mind for myself.
I understand, sure.
And because, you know, when you talk about the closed-mindedness of right-wing Christians, if you remember the fervor that happened over Scorsese's Last Temptation of Christ.
Yeah, which was an, you know, I went to see that. It was an excellent movie, but there was too much focus on the human side of Jesus, on the fact that he could have loved a woman and had sex with her and had children with her, and it was all fantasy.
Exactly.
Scorsese made it, you know, the Last Temptation of Christ was when he was on the cross. He had a chance to step down and make everyone who had tortured him disappear and go off with his girlfriend and get married or not and have babies and grow flax seed or whatever the hell they grew back then in the Middle East. And that was an affront to the Christians. But this brutal, bloody, violent film is something that they'll raise their hands up to the heavens and go, oh, thank you, Jesus.
And that's exactly what I'm trying to say. And even further than that, I just find it funny that now, you know, whatever you think of Mel Gibson, though, this wonderful Christian man making these films, I want to say, well, does that mean we can go watch Lethal Weapon now and you won't persecute me for it?
Right.
You know, or give them that. But I'll tell you something else. There will be a serious... This religious controversy in film will not end because I just read Dan Brown's fiction novel, The Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Which it's a very interesting topic for me because I'm really into the historicity of, you know, Christ's bloodline.
Right, right.
Maybe he was human and the Grail was a bloodline. And this book tackles that issue. And Ron Howard bought the rights to the book, and he's going to make it into a film.
I can't wait to see that one.
So now, when this
now, I bet you the religious fundamentalists will get out and picket that one.
Right, yeah. and that's why I want to go see this compared to the other ones too, because I keep an open mind and I don't close myself to culture. You know, there might be something good to take away from this film. Who knows? Maybe I'll go and say, this is a bunch of Christian crap. Get me out of here.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I've already spent money on Mel Gibson's other movies. What's five more bucks to go see one more of them?
Well, you get a student ticket.
Right.
Right,
so, yeah,
right.
It's only $5. Yeah,
well, see, there's a fundamental difference between you and me, Jeremy, is that, and God bless you for it, you're a young man. I am old. The stuff that you, relative to you, the stuff that you are experiencing and exploring are things that I have experienced and explored. I can honestly say, and I'm glad you don't say this, I can honestly say I don't need to see Mel Gibson's movie. Been there, done that. I've seen this. Maybe not his movie, but reasonable facsimiles thereof. I've read it. I've breathed it. I've listened to it. I've lived it. So I don't need to go see the movie. But I understand what you're saying about you want to see it for the comparative value or whatever your reasons are yours, and I understand that and respect that. You and I in that respect are separated by this vast gulf called a generational difference, and that's because I've been there. And God bless you on your journey. I hope it's a good one.
Yeah, well, after I see it, if you're still on the air, I'll give you a call back and give you the heads up.
I'll be on the air until a week from tomorrow night.
Which that comes out on Ash Wednesday, which is the 25th.
Okay, I'm on 27th is my last night.
Well, if I can, I wasn't going to rush out and see it the day it opened, but
well, you don't need to do that. Yeah. Send me an email.
Yeah, I could probably do that.
All right, Jeremy.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you checking in. Do I hear the music? I hear the music. All right, quick break here. Pat driving in Nashville is next. Doug and Pace in Arizona and Budzilla in Dallas, Texas. All right, one open line. Get in here and join us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I don't have much to offer him. I'm very small, you see. But I can love my Jesus, and he can still love me. And kinda all I want to do is satisfy my Lord and be the bestest Christian boy. In all the whole wide world, I'll be a cowboy, a Christian cowboy. I'll work for Jesus all my days. And on the prairie or in the city, I'll help him round up all the strays.
Welcome.
welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Welcome back to the It's Not Your Fault You Didn't Know show. We're talking about the best way to spend your weekends, and we have two special guests right now. On the phone is the Terminator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Arnold. And our other guest in the studio is George W. How are you today, Mr. Bush?
What's the matter?
Okay, all of our listeners want to know what you do on your weekends. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can listen to the best of left-of-center political talk radio on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network.
That's amazing.
George, your final words.
Stop it!
Thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow, same time. Have a nice day.
Just shut up!
The best of progressive talk radio can be heard on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network. For more information, call 1-800-397-8255 or go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
State religion, that's not what we're going for. We don't want for one governmental religion. Government will never, you know, say this is the religion. We're free from society for religion.
Yeah. Yeah, right, George. All right, I've got three folks on the line here who want to talk about this. We'll get these calls and we're going to move on. I didn't realize we'd stay on this topic for so long, but, you know, it's fine with me. This is a topic that just freaks me out completely, and apparently it freaks some of y'all out, too. So, anyway, Budzilla is calling from Dallas, Texas. Budzilla, sorry. Thanks for holding on.
No problem. I tried to call you
the other day, but got cut off too. So I'm used to it, and I love it. Okay.
Okay.
I had the near-death experience when I was in an automobile accident in 1987.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go into details of that other than tell all the Christians and mullahs and everybody else that everybody goes to the same place. Ha ha. But since then, I've, you know, kind of focused on trying to learn.
I hope it's not a great big cosmic Walmart.
Well, if the streets are paved with gold, I don't know why they need streets, because there's no bodies, there's no feet to walk on the roads with or anything. It's, it's a little different than what we think of here.
I'll bet it is.
But since then, I've kind of focused my life on the story of life. Why are we here, you know? Basically, all of our religions... bar none, I've studied all of them after my experience. I was, you know, like, why did I live and two other people died, you know? Well, religions all want their sheep to believe that their potentates are closer to God than they are.
True.
And this immediately creates a division.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not what God is about, or God or Yahweh or whatever this great force is.
Right.
It's not about that. It's all about unification.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not seen any religion that got people closer to spirituality, closer to God.
Mm-hmm. No, I have yet to find that also. I have come in contact over the course of my life with people who are truly spiritual, and some of them may have at one point in their lives subscribed to a dogmatic religious belief, but in order to connect with their own spirituality, they had to leave that belief. So, I agree with you. I agree with you.
So, let me just give you a quick list of things. There's about three things here that really have steered me in the proper spiritual direction.
Okay, go ahead.
Communication is the basis of all relationships.
Right.
The better the communication, the better the relationship.
Absolutely.
That's one of the most dynamic laws of the universe that you can't defy it. It's like gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't have much of a master communicator in the White House now, do we?
No, we don't.
Okay, and the second thing I learned was Frank Zappa told us that government is the entertainment division of the industrial-military complex.
Okay, and what's the third thing?
Ann Coulter is a man.
Ann Coulter is a man, okay.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Budzilla. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Always good to hear from you. Speaking about gravity, you know, when people talk about, well, I don't want to call, I don't know if it's God or Yahweh or... Vishnu or whoever it is, there's a force out there. Okay, I don't disagree with that, but I have a perfect name for that force. It's gravity. You know, that's what keeps everything together. If there's any force, it's gravity. And then, of course, you have anti-gravity, right? You have matter and you have antimatter. Look, you know, I certainly respect your belief, unless you decide you want to kill me because my belief is not like yours. So I respect your belief, as long as your belief doesn't include murder, which immediately eliminates just about every organized religion on the planet, especially Christianity. But, you know, my belief is, you know, I've got a certain amount of time here based on genetic structure, and then my ass ceases to exist permanently and forever.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here now and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
San Francisco Bay is one of the most unique and important ecosystems in North America, and it's in the middle of one of its biggest population centers. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. San Francisco took its name from the bay it overlooks, and John Hart says that's a clue to the bay's importance. Hart is the author of San Francisco Bay, Portrait of an Estuary.
You can think of it as an intersection of two animal highways. There is the north-south highway of the Pacific Flyway, perhaps the most important stop for shorebirds and for waterfowl. About 1 million individuals of each can be found in the fall and winter. And the other highway is the east-west highway, traversed by anadromous fish and other water creatures.
Salmon pass through the bay as they head into rivers, and a variety of Pacific fish species spawn in the estuary. But the San Francisco Bay Area is a major urban center. It's also a significant agricultural producer and a base of major industries, including shipping, oil refining, and chemicals. On top of all that, recreational use is growing. Hart says all these interests have to share the resource.
San Francisco Bay is not a wilderness, and it never will be a wilderness again. It's got 8 million people living around it. Along with the population, you've got a tremendous amount of industry, tremendous amount of transportation, big ports, all kinds of vested and economic interests that can't just be disapproved of and shrugged aside. We're all here, and we have to work out a way of living with the system.
Hart says San Francisco Bay has been improving since the 1960s, and he says wetland restoration efforts just getting underway will make it even better. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Truth, justice, and the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
27 before the hour. Pat is calling from near Nashville, another one of our over-the-road truckers. Hey, Pat.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I just wanted to make a real quick comment. It seems to me that if Bush were really a true Christian, the best thing he could do is not run again and let someone else come in the presidential office and show the world and the Iraqi people that he really does want to help them and that he's not after just the oil. And he could let someone else come in and there could start a Peace Corps kind of thing again where the people over there weren't in military uniform.
Mm-hmm.
They would be in a uniform that would offer help and assistance rather than a military presence.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. I don't know how many Peace Corps workers have been killed in the history of the Peace Corps for the work that they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they were killed by, I'm sure some have been killed, but they would have been killed by U.S. sponsored right wing death squads in the countries where the Peace Corps was trying to operate. I think the Peace Corps, or Dennis Kucinich's idea of Department of Peace, instead of a Department of War. I think it's a great idea. Bush will never do it. The Republicans will never do it. And with the exception of one or two Democratic leaders, the Democrats never will either.
All right. Thank you, Mike. I just wanted to point out that there's other ways for Bush to show Christianity, but, of course, that isn't his real agenda. So
that's very
there
true.
You have it.
There you have it indeed. Pat, drive safely.
Thank you for everything, Mike.
All right. You take care. Okay, are we finished with the, I think we are, finished with the Mel Gibson Holocaust-denying, Christ-murdering conversation? I think we're finished. Doug is calling from Payson, Arizona. Hey, Doug.
How are you, Mike?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Well, I want to tell you a couple things. About 5 years ago, I was driving across New Mexico. We live in Payson, Arizona, and I heard you on the radio, and it was so refreshing.
Oh, well,
and every night,
you.
My wife will tell the people from 7 to 10 is when you come on our radio. She says, don't talk to Doug because he's listening to Mike.
Well, bless your heart.
And I want to tell you, if it weren't for you, the Democratic Party wouldn't even have a chance. All of the ideas I've heard, I heard first on your program. And I tell my friends, hey, I heard that a couple weeks ago with Mike, and it's the truth. So you've done everything. And I can't believe that somebody won't pick you up. I want to just make a brief comment about religion. And now, I'm concerned about the movie, too, and everything you said about it, I agree. But I'm not nearly as concerned about that movie as I am the right-wing Bible pounders.
Mm-hmm.
They mentioned the other day, somebody did, and I can't, the source, 70 million Americans relate to right-wing Bible pounders.
I know, and the majority of people in this country don't even believe.
They believe in the rapture, and
right.
They believe, and those people are automatically voting for Bush.
Yes, they are,
and that's scary.
It's
now I believe maybe with your help and because of your help, it might be that the Democrats will win. Right now, the two leaders have a lead
mm-hmm.
on Bush, but God, they're going to come out with a couple $100 million worth of propaganda, and they're going to spread that stuff, and they're sick, evil bastards, and they're going to do everything they can, and old Joe Sixpack's going to listen to some of that stuff, Mike.
Well, I know that's the case. I'm just hoping that Bush is such a jerkwad that these fundamentalist right-wingers you're talking about, they're tired of him. They don't see him as being right-wing fundamentalist enough. So since there's no other candidate in this election for them to vote for, the hope is a lot of these sorry bastards would just stay home. That's the hope. They just won't come and vote. Because why vote for George Bush? He is not Nazi enough for them. He is not right-wing Christian enough for them. And there's nobody else. So,
God, I hope you're right.
I hope so, too. Hope so, too.
Well, thank you so much. I know you have other callers, but you have been an absolute breath of fresh air, and I'll be keeping in track to you with your web page, okay?
Great. Thanks, Doug. I appreciate
your
call. You have a nice evening. I've said it before, and I want to say it again. I sure do appreciate what Doug said and what all of you say, but keep in mind that this program is what it is because of a tremendous amount of input from people who listen, okay? And our, you know, we started out making jokes about, well, you're a bureau chief. Okay, well, you're a senior correspondent. Well, you're a special correspondent. The fact is, the people who have those little honorary, crazy-ass titles have contributed so much to this program. And then, of course, into the mix is Kathy, the producer, who puts all this stuff together with the sound bites and the music and the timing and the creativity. You know, I'm not saying this because she's my wife. Well, maybe I am. No, I'm not. But from somebody who didn't know radio 3 years ago to what she's done with this program in a very short period of time is astonishing to me. So I do appreciate it, Doug, the fact that you hear things on this program that then you hear Democratic candidates talk about. But trust me on this, it doesn't come out of just my punkin' little head. Yeah, I've got a lot of experience. I've done a lot of things. I'm certainly a force on the program. But there are so many other forces that contribute to this program to make it what it is. I just feel the need to say that. You know, there's no ego here. Remember, my idea of paradise or nirvana is ego death. So, okay, where are we? All right, now y'all just hold a second and let me get some stuff set here. I've got to now. Don't hang up. Those of you who are on hold, I'm going to come to you. But there's a couple. I'm going to get a couple of sound bites in here very quick from Simple Scotty McClellan. If you remember back on February 9th, 10 days ago, Bush endorsed and signed his name to that White House economic report that promised he would create those 2.6 million jobs by the end of 2004. That has been totally discredited now, not just by anyone with the sense God gave a gently stewed rhubarb stalk, but also by Bush himself and his so-called economic advisors. Everybody is backpedaling from that as fast as they can. Now, that report was released on February 9th to a lot of fanfare, and what was supposed to happen, the press was supposed to pick up on it, turn into a feel-good story. Us stupid sheep out here in sheepland were supposed to go, oh, good, 2.6 million jobs. Oh, thank Jesus. Well, you know, Bill Clinton really handed us crap, and George Bush has really turned it around. Here we are, less than 2 weeks later. And the thug in the White House and his top cabinet Nazis are now refusing to stand by those predictions because the Democrats have kept that number out there a little bit too long. Usually, most of what Bush talks about has a shelf life of about 36 hours. You're supposed to forget it. It's supposed to be filed away inside your head, inside my head, and then we forget about it. It hasn't happened with this lying heap of horse crap. The Associated Press reports that Bush, quote, distanced himself, unquote, from his own predictions. And we have played Scott McClellan the past couple of days, dancing around like a drop of olive oil on a hot griddle, trying to get away from the reporter's questions. My favorite was the other day when McClellan, when he was asked about the 2.6 million jobs, said Bush is not interested, quote, in crunching numbers, end quote. You know, little weasel bastard. You know, we're not talking about crunching numbers, Scott. We're talking about something that your fake-ass boss put out there for public. Oh, well, never mind. Now, why does everybody say he's a liar? Because, as the Economic Policy Institute notes, this criminal administration projected a total of 2.1 million jobs would be created in the first 7 months after the tax cuts took effect, the first round, in 2003. Now, see, we're not supposed to remember this. Jesus Christ, I'm going back a year? Oh, my God, that doesn't exist. There's no such thing as last year. In fact, only 296,000 jobs were created. That left a cumulative shortfall of 1,846,000 jobs. Now, you and I are not supposed to remember that. We're supposed to, you know, stand there with our hands on our crotches, making ourselves feel good, saying, oh, yeah, the first tax cut was wonderful. They created 2.1 million jobs. Oh, God, everything's wonderful. I was watching, what was I watching? Crossfire, and they had this dead, dried up prune Steve Forbes, you know, whose father was just a some kind of a psychopath. There's poor old Steve Forbes, who probably does himself with a crucifix every chance he gets, saying to the people on Crossfire that the economy is great, Bush has created 3 million jobs, nobody knows what they're talking about. I watch that and I go, where am I? Where am I? Have I fallen through the looking glass? Now, Elaine Chao, who is the wife of what's his name from Kentucky? What's the senator from Kentucky? Jesus, he looks like I don't know what he looks like. He looks like I don't know. I can't think. These people scare me to death. But Elaine Chao and Commerce Secretary Don Evans and Treasury Secretary John Snow, they're all out in the Pacific Northwest. That's a part of the country that's struggling with unemployment. And they're out there talking about Bush's wonderful plans. Now, they refuse to talk with unemployed workers. That's not part of their agenda. They won't sit. They're meeting with the Chamber of Commerce types. They're meeting with the people that do for George Bush what Monica did for Bill Clinton. And they're out there talking about how everything is wonderful. They're not going to meet with unemployed workers. Oh, no. But they are telling the Chamber of Commerce types that the Bush administration refuses to back an extension of unemployment benefits. These people are vile. They the damage and destruction they have done to our society, to our various religions, our economy, our ecology, our minds, our science. What have they not corrupted? Well, nothing. Simple Scotty McClellan, the briefing today. Reporters are not going to back off the economy like they're not going to back off all this other crap now. First reporter asks about how W keeps blaming Clinton for the recession. The reporter says, you know, Scott, you talked this morning at the gaggle about when the recession started. Your Council of Economic Advisors claims it began in the fourth quarter of 2000. The National Bureau of Economic Research says it's seen no compelling reason to move the date from March 2001, where it is now. Even your own Bureau of Economic Analysis in this chart here shows that there was actually growth in the fourth quarter of 2000. So, how do you peg the start of the recession to that fourth quarter? Because you have said that you inherited recession. Bush said it again today. What it would appear is that you have inherited slow growth, but not a recession.
No, as I said, that any way you want to look at it, the economy was weakening, the economy was declining well before the president took office, and that is the reason we were headed into a recession. This president acted to get us out of a recession, but the facts are pretty clear. There's no question that the economy was weakening well before the president took office. GDP peaked in the fourth quarter of 2000. The stock market declined sharply starting in September 2000. Business investment started declining in the fourth quarter of 2000. Initial jobless claims started increasing the week of April 15th, 2000.
Well, Scott, you pissant. Those are called normal business cycles. When Clinton had 8 years of economic success, didn't you and your Republican pissants call that a normal business cycle? Yeah, it happened to be 8 years long, and it happened to be the most productive cycle in the American economy in the history of this country. And what did you pissants call it? You called it a normal business cycle. So what do you call what you're describing, Scott? Yeah, the economy was weakening. That's not the same thing as inheriting a recession, is it? You didn't inherit a recession. You inherited a normal business cycle. And because of your boss's inexperience, stupidity, and right-wing neo-Nazi fascist economic policy, you drove the country right to the brink, which is where we still are. This is like talking about weapons of mass destruction metamorphose into program ideas possibly delineated by a connection to maybe weapons of mass destruction. That's the same thing as saying, well, it was a recession, and then it degenerates into, well, the economy was weakening. You lying bastards, every one of you, you are just disgusting. But you'll still find millions of Americans, Scott, not to worry, who think you and your thug pig boss are doing a great job. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's cool. Another reporter says, last night, Senator Daschle and a handful of other Democrats asked in a letter to the president if he would just update the economic forecast so it would not conflict with the jobs and the economic forecast and the economic report. You know, update the forecast. You know, we're giving you a chance, Scott. We're giving your thug boss a chance. What we want to know, Scott, is what is Mr. Bush's response to that request. And we'll have it for you right after this break.
One of these mornings, you're gonna rise up righteous.
If you're worried about people finding work, you better increase demand. If you're trying to create new jobs. In other words, if one worker can do more work, you got to create the need for more work.
Until that more.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Tune into IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on, when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of, because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed, where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Our senior correspondent, Chris Minnesota, comes through. It was Mitch McConnell, the senator from Kentucky, who is Elaine Charles, Secretary of Labor's husband. And he says, and the freak, Mitch McConnell, looks like a sad-ass clone of Steve Forbes. Indeed. And Chris, our overseas, one of our overseas bureau chiefs, I can't go. Where is Chris, Kathy? Do you remember? I don't remember. I'm sorry, Chris. He says, 2.1 million jobs were created, Mike. Last January, I saw the new factories and belching smokestacks. Of course, this was in Guangdong province in southern China. But did Butch actually say the jobs were going to be created in the U.S.? No. No, you're right, Chris. He didn't. Is he our Bangkok bureau chief? I forget. All right. A reporter says, Scott, last night, Senator Daschle and a handful of other Democrats asked in a letter to the president if he would update the economic forecast so it would not conflict with the jobs and the economic report. What's the president's response to that request, Scott?
Well, the president is focused on doing more to create an even more robust environment for job creation. That's where the president's focus is on. Presidents and congressional leaders make policy decisions.
Oh.
And that's where the discussion should be.
Ah.
And the policies that this president has pursued are working to strengthen our economy and to create a robust environment for job creation.
Oh, good.
New jobs are being created. There's some 366,000 jobs that were created in the last 5 months.
Ooh.
Unemployment is declining. GDP is strong. We're seeing sustained economic growth.
Even if your numbers are right, you little rat, and they're not, 366,000 in 5 months is what? 80,000 jobs a year, less than 80,000 jobs a month. And what does it take just to get back to 3 million you thugs have pissed away? What would it take per month? Come on, Scott. Come on, Scott. And you're creating, the president is trying to create a more robust environment for job creation, but no actual jobs. Oh, I see. Weapons of mass destruction program portfolio files that were found with diagrams and drawings in a third grader's crayon handwriting. That's why we invaded Iraq. And this is Bush's programs for a job creation down the road someday, maybe.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I had to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. George W. Bush, calling himself a war president, used variations of the words war, terror, kill, and danger more than 70 times in a Meet the Press interview that lasted less than an hour. That represents the use of fear-based wording roughly every 50 seconds. But most Americans don't consider the war on terror the most important issue facing the country. A January poll by the Pew Center showed that only 37% view defense and security as the nation's most pressing concern. A 24-year-old Army petroleum supply specialist out of Fort Sill, Oklahoma, died of a drug overdose on Father's Day, one of 22 suicides reported among troops in Iraq last year. According to the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs, who discussed the suicides in a briefing last month, this represents a rate of more than 13.5 suicides per 100,000 troops, about 20% higher than the recent Army average of 10.5 to 11. The number cited does not include cases under investigation and also excludes the suicides by soldiers who have returned to the United States. The Federal Election Commission decided yesterday that many of the political committees raising soft money to campaign against George W. Bush are subject to regulation. The FEC voted 4-2 to warn Americans for a Better Country that activities that promote, attack, support, or oppose a federal candidate must be paid for with hard money, a type of political donation that, unlike soft money, has tight restrictions on sources and amounts. Republican National Committee Chairman Ed Gillespie said the ruling will put out of business groups like America Coming Together, the Media Fund, Partnership for America's Families, and the MoveOn.org Voter Fund. Howard Dean's heroic quest for the presidency ended Wednesday as the Democrat, winless in 17 contests, abandoned his bid. Dean did not endorse any of his rivals, and both had kind words for the former candidate, with Edwards saying Dean has energized and revolutionized this race and excited a whole new generation of young people. Kerry told reporters in Ohio that it's impossible not to express admiration and respect for the campaign that he's put together and what he's achieved.
More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
New Mexico is considering a law that would make all drivers exhale into an alcohol detection device in their cars before they could start the engine. The New Mexico House of Representatives on Monday passed a bill to require an ignition lock that will prevent a car from starting if the driver fails a breath test. Critics of the bill called the cost of the device prohibitive, adding the measure would penalize people who do not drink and drive by forcing them to buy an expensive gadget.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Instead of following America's environmental rules, polluters have found a better deal. Bush & Company lets polluters write their own rules for fun and profit. At issue are long-delayed EPA rules to regulate the amount of toxic mercury spewing out of the smokestacks of some 1,100 coal-fired power plants across America. This airborne mercury is grotesque. It's a neurotoxin that causes brain damage in unborn children and infants. Power plants produce 41% of all industrial mercury contamination, 48 tons a year, and they're presently the only unregulated source of this pollution. So the Bushites have boldly stepped into the breach with new regs that they say will eliminate 70% of mercury emissions by 2018. Progress, right? Hardly. Why 2018? That's 12 years and untold numbers of brain-damaged children down the road. The technology exists today to eliminate 90% of these emissions. But utility lobbyists balked at a more stringent rule, saying that the companies didn't want to incur the expense of the more efficient technology. Bush's EPA not only went along, but actually let a top industry lobbying firm, Latham & Watkins, write much of the language used in the agency's proposed rule, lifting many of the paragraphs verbatim from Latham & Watkins' memos. The head of the EPA's Air Policy Office, Jeffrey Homestead, said the use of the lobbying firm's language was merely the result of an interagency mix-up. "That's not typically the way we do things, borrowing language from other people," Homestead said. What Jeffrey didn't say is that he came to the EPA from, guess where, Latham & Watkins. There's more. The chief counsel of the Air Policy Office also came from Latham & Watkins. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight this corrupt rulemaking process, call the Clean the Rain campaign, 202-797-6692.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Now, back to the press conference today. We have two of them, two sound bites left. Simple Scotty McClellan. On the question of sending our manufacturing jobs to Mexico and China, so-called blue-collar jobs, and our so-called white-collar jobs to India, reporter wants to know what Bush will do to stop this travesty. So the reporter asks this question. Scott, outsourcing has become a topic of currency in this election. People are worried about our jobs going overseas. What specific steps is the president taking to offset outsourcing of American jobs to overseas countries?
Any time there's job loss, it is regrettable. And this president is acting to make sure that workers are prepared to meet the challenges of a 21st century economy.
What does that mean?
A changing economy.
What do you mean?
It's important that we continue to move forward and strengthen our economy even more.
What do you mean?
The president has a six-point plan to do that.
One important aspect of that is
promoting free trade. But we need to make sure that as we promote free trade, that there is a level playing field.
What are you talking about? What are you saying? That's not what was asked. This president is acting to make sure that workers are prepared to meet the challenges of a 21st century economy? I'll tell you what the challenges of a 21st century economy are, you jackass. It's having a job. It's having a place to go every morning to earn a paycheck. One that guarantees enough money to put a roof over our heads and food in our guts and clothes on our back and a little maybe for our kids' education, you jackass. Meet the challenges. Make sure that workers are prepared to meet the challenges of a 21st century economy. Pissant robot. Last one. Oh, God, these people make me just furious. Spitfire emails in, Bush was talking down the economy before he even took office to get his tax cuts passed as a fix. Right after 9-1-1, top economists said the event had no effect on the economy. The killer point to make is to point out the failure of Bush to fix the economy. They claim they're the experts and that Republicans are good at business and strong in the economy. Don't they? Yeah, that's what they claim, Spitfire. But these sons of bitches have driven this country into recession more times than any working class American would care to remember or experience or have to deal with again. And they're doing it again. still on outsourcing American jobs, giving them away, sending them overseas. This reporter wants to know if Bush will stop giving big corporations huge tax cuts for sending American jobs to foreign countries. How does that feel, huh? Before I get the reporter's question, just think about that. Just think what these people are doing. Now, you and I understand this. But the freaks that are going to vote for this lousy administration again this November, do they not understand that? And I'm not talking about the rich bastards that support him. I'm talking about working class people like you, like me, who are going to vote for this jackass. And his economic policy is to give tax breaks to companies that leave this country and leave these Bush supporters high and dry. What the hell are they going to do? Well, their brains are so addled with whether or not the queers are going to get married. Oh, do you know the queers are trying to get married? Thank God we have a Jesus man in the White House to stop that nonsense. Meantime, Bush and his killers just slip it right between their ribs. Just slip the knife in, move it around a couple of times, and these poor dumb bastards bleed to death before they hit the ground. Oh, I know, it's not nice to call people dumb. They're stupid. They're ignorant. Their brains are just full of this religious hocus-pocus. Well, George Bush is a godly man. You know, he's over there killing Arabs, and that's a godly thing. And he prays. Yeah, he uses the F word right along with Jesus' name, too. Don't you people care about that, you religious freaks? No, I guess not. So the reporter says, what about the suggestion, Scott, by some that there be changes to the tax code to give tax credits to industries that actually promote jobs here in the United States, and maybe penalties on companies that outsource jobs? What about that, Scott? And how do we expect the president to convince the private sector not to outsource jobs when state governments are doing exactly the same thing? For example, Washington State outsources government functions.
No, I hear you, but jobs have been going overseas to some extent, and that's a concern. And the president has talked about that.
Oh, good.
That's why the president is acting on the policies I just described.
Was that an answer to what the reporter asked? No, of course not. Of course not. Of course not. An economist with the Center for Economic and Policy Research says, compare the current recovery to the recovery of the early 1990s. You remember, that's when Clinton took over in 1992. And you'll find, she writes, that in the first 25 months of the Clinton recovery, the economy gained 1,681,000 jobs. 25 months since the Bush recession ended, according to Bush, the economy has lost 776,000 jobs, and wages are actually falling in spite of booming productivity growth. The American worker, George likes to get out there and say, you know, I love the American worker. They're the best worker in the world. Yeah, you son of a bitch, they are. How would you know? You've never worked a day in your life. So the American worker out there busting his hump, busting her hump, one job, two jobs, two and a half jobs, trying to make a living, being productive so that the company doesn't move to where? Mexico or Chile or China or India. Everybody busting their ass, not making any money for it. 2003 ended with fewer jobs than it had when it began. That's your bottom line. That's what the Bush crime family does. And then the lying bastard said he would provide funds for job training in the budget. Over the past 3 years, the Bush crime family, Bush himself, has proposed at least $1 billion in cuts to job training and vocational programs. He is a liar. He is a monster, and everybody around him is a killing, murderous monster. They kill the soul of this country. They kill the religious beliefs of this country. They promote fanaticism and insanity. The 2.6 million jobs that this thug says he's going to add this year, every single one of those jobs, whatever does materialize, will be jobs not paying a living wage. And the numbers? Helen Ginsberg, co-director for publication National Jobs for All Coalition. She's also a professor emeritus of economics at Brooklyn College. She said today the number of people who were counted as unemployed in January is 8.3 million. But there are 4.7 million people working part-time, even though they wanted full-time jobs and couldn't get them, and another 4.7 million people who currently want a job but are not counted as unemployed because they weren't looking for a job in the prior 4 weeks. Further, we estimate that roughly 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men who had full-time jobs the year-round earn less than the poverty level for a family of four. This is your Bush recovery. These people are just disgusting. Just disgusting. Susan, one of our over-the-road truckers driving in Arizona, listening on Sirius. Hey, Susan.
Hi, Mike. I was going to talk to you about these unemployment figures and how they come up with them. Because, you know, you've got, he doesn't want to extend unemployment benefits because those people are going to get counted as being unemployed. So the sooner you get the unemployed to drop off the unemployment rolls, you know, then they just go into that limbo section.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what the Republicans in Congress told him, and that's why they decided not to extend unemployment compensation for people. Screw the worker.
That's right. And then you've got the people on welfare that don't count them as unemployed. Because I figure if you went and signed up for welfare, you're just lazy.
Right.
You know, they forget that you still got to eat, feed your kids, pay your rent, you know, do something. You got to somehow put food on the table. And a lot of people, you know, they don't want to go play for welfare, but what choice do they have? Can't find jobs.
Right.
And, of course, productivity is up. When you've got an office, you're working in an office and they cut 25% of the employees, and then that work that those people were doing just gets passed around.
That's right.
So your productivity is up, but you're still not employing people. And then you've got the underemployed, like you were talking about. What kind of a living wage can you make if all you're making is $6, $7 an hour? You can't feed a family of four. You can't feed one person barely and pay rent, utilities, and all that.
If both people, both adults in a family or two adults in a family are making $6, $7 an hour and working full-time jobs, they still can't support a family of four.
That's right. And, I mean, it just goes on and on. And the way Bush makes it all look like, it's like, oh, all these people out here are lazy. Like you said, oh, they didn't look for jobs in the last 4 weeks beforehand, so they're not counted as unemployed. Well, when you've been out of work for 2 years and you can't find a job, once in a while you just get depressed.
That's right.
And you can't get... I mean, depression's up in this country. Yeah, I wish they would look at a lot of the other economic factors and put those in. Well, what kind of jobs are being made? We don't get told the whole story.
No, we don't.
And it's a real shame because, I mean, I'm out here working every day. You can't tell me this economy's going. We struggle to find freight. Our company struggles to find freight. They still got, you know, constantly drivers trying to find a better job, trying to find a better job.
Right.
And it's just totally insane out here.
Hmm.
We see it. I see more homeless people standing on the streets begging now. See more women out there begging now. I mean, they got to the point where that's all they can do.
Yeah.
And that's shameful when you see somebody out there with their kids and they're on a street corner and they don't look like they've been out there for years. They've just been out there for long enough where unemployment's run out. You know, they may have lost their home.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're in limbo because until they've got no money for a certain period of time, you can't get welfare.
That's right. That's right. Susan, thank you. Thanks for checking in. Please drive safely, okay?
Okay, Mike. You have a good evening.
Okay, you too. You take care.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
Ow! I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Show.
NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush.
Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy.
You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Now, in the middle of all this, USA Today is reporting that Bush's ratings are sagging again. I don't quite understand this. I really don't. Bush's job approval has been steady this month. But some of the numbers on personal qualities have dipped. That's according to USA Today CNN Gallup poll taken Monday and Tuesday. Okay? According to USA Today, Bush's slip coincides with growing complaints about slow job growth. It's non-existent. Accusations that he shirked his National Guard duty in the 70s. Accusations?
and failure to find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. There were none. The lying bastard took us to war on a lie. And stalled efforts to establish democracy there. When is somebody going to tell these people that a nation like Iraq will never, ever have democracy as a form of government? They will have either socialism or religion. You know, why not? Oh, God. Oh, this just makes me want to, I don't know, claw my eyes out. The Shia and the Sunnis are not going to adopt Western-style democracy any more than we are going to run this country the way they run the country in Iran. It's not going to happen. Not in June when this handover is supposed to occur. Not 5 years from now. Not 1,000 years from now. It is an Islamic country. Democracy is not what they do. Does Saudi Arabia? No. Does Iran? No. Does Tunisia? No. Does Libya? No. Does Syria? No. Does Lebanon? No. Does any country in the Middle East?
Well, what about Turkey, Mike?
Oh, stop. So because of all that, the numbers on Bush are starting to drop. His score for honesty and trustworthiness is at the lowest point of his presidency. And yet the poll shows that Bush is still seen as a strong leader and a person of high moral character. How does that happen? What is honesty and trustworthiness if it is not, if they are not, components of moral character? Please, will somebody explain this to me? What is wrong with us in this country that we look at a jackass like George Bush and see him as a strong leader? Where? He murdered 12,000 people in Iraq. He unleashed shock and awe. He's a killer. He took us to war on a lie. That's not a strong leader. That's a psychopath. And a person of high moral character who lies about everything, whose honesty and trustworthiness is the lowest point in his presidency? What is wrong with us? Where do these numbers come from? 42% said the president has a clear plan for solving the country's problems. See, I just read that and I put the word president in there. God help me. 42% said the Bush bastard has a clear plan for solving the country's problems. Less than half said he did his duty for the country in Vietnam. However, 80% said that will make no difference in their vote. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with us that we will vote? For the people who didn't go to Vietnam, who protested Vietnam, God bless them. For the people who did go because they were lied to by the government, God bless them. Let God try to sort it all out, okay? For all the murder and mayhem and destruction that was created over there. But George Bush said he supported the war and hid from it. And hid from it. He is a hypocrite. And 80% of people polled said his war record, quote, doesn't matter. What the hell is wrong with us?
He's a mighty good leader. He's a mighty good leader. He's a mighty good leader. All the way, Lord, from up to heaven. He's a mighty good leader.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
San Francisco Bay is one of the most unique and important ecosystems in North America, and it's in the middle of one of its biggest population centers. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. San Francisco took its name from the bay it overlooks, and John Hart says that's a clue to the bay's importance. Hart is the author of San Francisco Bay, Portrait of an Estuary.
You can think of it as an intersection of two animal highways. There is the north-south highway of the Pacific Flyway, perhaps the most important stop for shorebirds and for waterfowl. About 1 million individuals of each can be found in the fall and winter. And the other highway is the east-west highway, traversed by anadromous fish and other water creatures.
Salmon pass through the bay as they head into rivers, and a variety of Pacific fish species spawn in the estuary. But the San Francisco Bay Area is a major urban center. It's also a significant agricultural producer and a base of major industries, including shipping, oil refining, and chemicals. On top of all that, recreational use is growing. Hart says all these interests have to share the resource.
San Francisco Bay is not a wilderness, and it never will be a wilderness again. It's got 8 million people living around it. Along with the population, you've got a tremendous amount of industry, tremendous amount of transportation, big ports, all kinds of vested and economic interests that can't just be disapproved of and shrugged aside. We're all here, and we have to work out a way of living with the system.
Hart says San Francisco Bay has been improving since the 1960s, and he says wetland restoration efforts just getting underway will make it even better. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah,
as you
I was
know.
Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to
different...
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. I don't understand these numbers. I really don't. Bush's score for honesty and trustworthiness is the lowest point in his presidency, and yet he's still seen as a strong leader and a person of high moral character. I just don't get it. 80% of those polled said the fact that he is a draft-dodging liar, willing to send other people to their death but not willing to put his life at risk, has no bearing on whether or not they will vote for him again. Incredible. Just incredible. Now, analysts also were not surprised, apparently, at a key finding of this poll. If the election were held today, either Kerry or Edwards would beat Bush. And about a week ago, Bush against either Democrat was so close it was in effect a tie. I don't know about the numbers. You know my feeling about polls. I think they're just utter nonsense. They might be a snapshot of certain people who were caught in a certain moment, and that's it. They have validity only in that sense, right? A couple of months ago, Bush held a solid lead over every candidate for the Democratic nomination. Not anymore. Stephen Hess, who is a scholar of this sort of thing at Brookings Institute, said that although the poll findings suggest Bush is in trouble, it's too early to consider the numbers to be a forecast for the November 2nd election. Hess said, to say that Bush has not yet begun to fight is an understatement for a man who is sitting on $150 million. Yeah. Now, there's a reason, you see, for Bush's poll numbers tanking. There is a reason that Americans don't trust him anymore. There's a reason that Americans see him as being dishonest and untrustworthy. There is a reason for all of this. Ed Gillespie, chairman of the Republican National Committee, says, yeah, you know what the reason is? Ads. The Democrats have run against him. That's what it says here in USA Today. Ads. The Democrats have run against him. That's why Bush's numbers are down. Have I mentioned tonight how much I hate these people? I think I have. Alvin is calling from Augusta. Hey, Alvin.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Cautiously optimistic, Mike.
Okay. Well, good for you.
I've been in the car the last couple of days. I've been hearing a lot of these conservative right-wing yahoos. And today I heard the baby Jesus today.
Oh, did you? How's he doing? Poor old messed up Sean Hannity. What a thug.
He had on a Zogby.
Oh, God, yeah. And Zogby said Bush is going to be reelected or something?
No.
No?
Told him that he was behind.
Oh, yeah?
To lead him into all the answers that were pro-Republican.
Yeah?
One by one, Zogby kept zapping him. And it kind of... go to a break.
Hey, yo, Alvin, you're fading out, man. You're here, and then you're not here, and we're getting about every third word.
Are you there now? Am I there now?
There we go.
Okay. No, every question that Hannity would try to lead him into that was going to be pro-Republican, he ended up being zapped. He talked about he lost favor with the women. He hit on this new term they've come up with about, NASCAR dads.
Uh-huh.
And, because Sean was trying to say that a Democrat couldn't win without some of those red states.
Uh-huh.
And Zogby informed him that a Democrat won before with just the blue states.
That's right. That's right. And his name was Al Gore.
Exactly. And he was really expecting to support him. Another thing happened to today. I was listening to NPR today.
Mm-hmm.
And the guest was on Fresh Air with Terry Gross.
Right, right.
And the guest was Jane Mayer. She's a journalist with The New Yorker.
Right.
They did it. They've done an in-depth thing on Cheney, and it was amazing. It sounded like I was listening to your program.
On Cheney, it's not out yet, or it is out?
It's this month's issue of The New Yorker.
Oh, they're weekly. I subscribe to it. That's the reason I asked, because I can't wait to read it.
It was in-depth. It went into the man's history. It seems he's as much of a failure as Bush is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, all of these people. They are all... just thugs and punks. If the Saudis haven't bailed them out, then the Indonesians had to bail them out. If they didn't bail them out, the Malaysians had to bail them out. Every one of them is a failure.
Well, see, I knew this guy we got right there. I mean, he was just a talking mannequin, but I thought that some kind of way that Cheney was the brains behind everything.
Well, Cheney may be, but that doesn't mean he's a success as a businessman. You know, in the so-called debates between Cheney and that sleazeball Lieberman during the 2000 run-up to the 2000 election, Lieberman let Cheney sit there and say. Cheney said, "Well, you know, Joe, I've been making money on the private sector. I don't use the government." And the son of a bitch had used Halliburton and Kellogg Brown and Root and everything he could get his filthy degenerate fingers into to get American taxpayer dollars, and that wasn't enough. He had to rip people off and countries off as he went along. Dick Cheney would make George Bush look like a Sunday school teacher.
Well, this report, they hit him with every one of those contracts, the cost overruns. They
right, right.
Hit with the fact how he contradicted himself that he didn't think it was, he thought the private sector did a better job of handling people's money, this type of thing, and he didn't respect companies that made their money off the public dole.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, I hit him. The fact that, and they talked about how they got all this no bid contracts.
Right.
Not only are they supplying oil drilling equipment, they supply food, soaps, detergents, laundry.
Everything. These people, these filthy war profiteers who are trading in American blood, who are trading in Iraqi blood, they are the worst kind of ghouls on the planet, Al. You know this as well as I do.
Oh, yeah.
These people are bottom feeders. They eat corpses. They pray for death. They are destroyers. They are, oh, God, oh, I'm just going to freak here tonight. I'm going to freak tonight.
Please get that article in. If you,
oh, yeah, I'll get it.
It'd be good for Kathy to go and download that thing. They said if you go to I forgot the site. If you go to the site, you can get the whole audio. The audio probably is better than, because this lady, the journalist, is gone, and she evidently she has some sources that had access to that meeting, that energy meeting that Cheney had.
Really?
With oil executives, and she's got the documents. They're, you know, top secret. She won't reveal how she got them because she said it would be an issue, a legal issue for the people, I guess, who she got it from.
Yeah, and they'd also probably try to make her commit suicide. What we'll do is probably download, we'll put the link on, as soon as I get it, as soon as it's available on the Internet, I'll put the link. But anyone can get it, NewYorker.com.
Exactly, but they had a way where you could get the whole interview with Terry.
Oh, yeah, with Terry Gross, right. I couldn't do that for copyright reasons, but also we just don't have the time to do it. But it
was wonderful. You're going to love it.
I will listen to it tonight when I get home. I will listen to it tonight.
She's got the documentation. And that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking little bits and pieces with the type of information. I'm not doing justice to the story right now, but
believe me, you're talking to the choir. People who are listening to you right now know what you're talking about, and will read that thing or listen to Terry Gross's interview from NPR. No, you're doing fine. We get it, Alvin. We get it. Trust me.
Are you familiar with the fact the Supreme Court has agreed to hear this case?
Yes. Oh yeah, okay. And that Scalia has been gone duck hunting with this bastard.
Exactly.
I hear you, Alvin.
Okay. Right.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you checking in. You have a nice evening. All right. I know my language is getting a little bit strong tonight. I understand. I do apologize. I'm not saying anything you haven't heard on this program, but I'm tonight is just not a good night. You know, I just the pressure's starting to build. You know, I'm thinking Kathy and I have a show tomorrow night, and then five next week, and then it's over. And it just freaks me out. It just freaks me out. I hope to hell we land someplace as quickly as possible. I don't know what I'll do. I'll have to open a vein or something if I have to go through this election season not being on the air. I did the last time. I left. You know, and I don't care what anybody says. WLS didn't fire me. I had a choice, and I just decided to piss on these people and walk, took my severance, and got out of there and went back to CNN. But I got out of there in April, March or April of 2000, and didn't get back on the air with this network until October of 2000, about 3 weeks before the election. Nobody knew where I was. Nobody knew. I might have had four listeners, if that. You know, I'm pounding and shrieking and going through my Malloy routine and like, just thud. The only one listening was Kathy, you know. And it was awful. It was awful to go through the buildup to what this Bush crime family did. And you know, here I am again. So I hope that, you know, we land someplace. Kathy called the Georgia Unemployment Bureau today to find out, you know, we were thinking about, well, let's fill in the forms early. And they said, no, you got to wait till you're unemployed and then come in and take a number. So we are going to be jacking up the numbers by two Monday week. Daryl is calling from Tarrant, Alabama. Is that right? Tarrant, Alabama?
It's Tarrant, T-A-R-A-N-T.
Hey, Daryl.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir.
I just want to say I want to congratulate you and Kathy for having a new child.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
And also, I want to add something to Too Stupid to Be President.
Okay.
I got something all about stupid. It's called You Can't Fix Stupid.
You can't fix stupid.
That's so true about him.
All you can do is beat it with a stick.
That's right.
That's right.
And I support Dennis Kucinich also.
Well, bless your heart.
And I've told Kathy, I said, I'm going to miss you and her. Right now, I'm going through heavy duty withdrawals as I speak, but I don't know where we'll get over it, but I'm waiting to hear from you on another station.
Well, we'll keep folks posted at MikeMalloy.com. That's the best we can do, and just hope that we land somewhere.
Well, I just want to tell you about the all these Christian people, like you've been talking about. I got one sentence to say about them. I want to say, save me from the good people.
Yeah, I can handle the bad ones. Save me from the good ones. I hear that.
And I want to tell you about my what I grew up with in my childhood. On my mother's side of the family, there was Mormons.
Mm.
On my father's side, there was Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'll just say I'm neutral.
Between all that, you never had a holiday at all, did you?
Well, my mother, she gave us a holiday. I gave it that, but
yeah.
My father always, I just call him a donor of sperm to see it.
No, good Lord. And you're not calling me from an institution, are you, Daryl?
No. I'm totally sane.
You survived it all.
I survived it all.
Bless your heart.
I own my house my grandmother had, so I still got that and everything. I'm still...
Jehovah's Witness daddy and a Mormon mom.
The bad thing about it, the Jehovah's Witness church was on the back side of the alley on the corner. I could see it from my house, seven houses down.
Yeah? So you couldn't escape. You had to go.
No, he used to beat me with my belt on my back all the way down there.
God, God.
And he got me down in the kitchen one day and was beating me on my back, and I looked at him. I was about... 10 years old, and I looked at him, and I said, you don't hurt me no more. He said, what do you mean? I said, they don't hurt me no more.
And you pulled out a gun and shot him.
I wish I could have.
I hear that.
But I tell him he was a two-face.
Yeah, it's awful, Daryl. It's just awful. Listen, this is your first time calling, right?
It is, but I've listened to you when you used to be on from 3 to 6.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
I was always working then, so I used to listen to you from 8 to 11 when they replay you.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you was coming on at nighttime. I love that even more.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you've been out there, Daryl.
The station we used to listen to you on was 810 in Jacksonville, but that's sold, and it's called Wild Country 810 now.
Yeah, religious fanatics bought that.
Oh, they did?
Oh, well. They did indeed. They just, and the woman who ran that station she used to just hate me because I would bust up on her phony Christianity, or she thought I was. Daryl, thank you.
I got one more thing to tell you.
Okay, quick.
A week ago from last Thursday, my lover and I, we've been celebrating our... Been together for 19 years.
19 years?
Yes.
And you can't get married yet?
I don't care about that.
Well, bless your heart. Congratulations. And maybe someday the great state of Alabama will recognize marriages.
The rednecks here? I doubt it.
I doubt it, too. Thanks, Daryl.
Take care.
All right, sir. You too. 19 years. 19 years. Think about some of these fake Christian conservatives. Think about Newt Gingrich. The only thing Newt Gingrich has done for 19 years is cheat on his five wives. Ted is calling from Rockford, Illinois. Hey, Ted.
Hi. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
Well, I haven't talked to you for a long time. I used to call all the time.
I know you did.
Yeah, but I've been listening to you every night, though, or during the day and in the morning when, Radio Power is great.
Yeah, radiopower.org or White Rose. You can get it
White Rose, too.
By the way, radiopower.org is going to continue streaming liberal talk radio programs after IE America tanks. So stay in touch with radiopower.org. Everybody out there, as a matter of fact, Ted, not just you, who tune into Radio Power, keep tuning in because Shelby's going to continue to do programming. It's not going to be me. It's not going to be Tom Hartman. It might be Tom Hartman. I don't know.
Well, you might be back on there again, too.
When we get back on the air, I'm sure we'll get back on Radio Power.
Their streaming is fantastic. I've just got a dial-up modem, and I never have problems with delays and rebuffering.
Wow, that is good.
Yeah, it's really good, but... Well, I've been on here for a while now thinking about all the different subjects you've been bringing up since I've been listening on the phone, and I kind of forgot why I called originally now. But
Bush's defeat in November.
Well, yeah. I remember one thing. Not to quote Khrushchev, thank God I'm an atheist.
Yeah.
You know, the religions, the Christians hate the Muslims, and the Muslims hate the Islam, and Islam hates the Christians, and even Christians hate each other.
Right.
And that's nice about being an atheist because you can hate them all.
You can hate them all.
Yeah.
Or you can love them all when you're an atheist.
Yeah, if you want to,
if
sure.
you want you know, to, right. Which is hard to do.
I know. But, you know, the reason I called was, and you kind of had one of your promotional spots you had it when I was listening here for you, too, was you're looking at the polls, and my most important thing or the thing I was really happy about is the tremendous amount of Democrats coming out in the primaries.
Yes.
And you can see the polls now, and with my new hero, Lou Dobbs, is just railing on Republicans every night, which I can't believe.
Isn't that something?
I just don't understand that.
This guy has had a total conversion.
Oh, it's just you should have heard him telling Forbes. Forbes was trying to say some things to him, and he was, oh, come on now.
Well, Forbes was on his program, too.
Yeah, well, that was yesterday.
Oh, yesterday, okay.
Yeah, and... But Forbes is saying the same thing about, like Begala today, well, it was you guys that gave us the problem, you know, trying to blame it on Clinton and everything.
Right.
And I guess the whole point is that I think the way the country's going, I mean, if you're stupid, that's incurable, but maybe people are just ignorant, hopefully.
Yeah.
And that is curable. I mean, you can learn things there, but if it gets to the point where I just don't think there's any way in the world that in a legitimate election, there is no way that Bush is going to win.
I hope that's the case. But
but what happens now? Do you think they want to give up their power? They've got so much going for them, they're not going to want to give that up.
Yeah, the key word there is legitimate. Ted, we're out of time.
Okay, you take care, Michael.
Thank you, sir.
I'll be listening for you, man.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in, pal.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
I'm tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have an expense account. What's the problem?
I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins. I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to it on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside, punk.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of political talk Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to ieamericaradio.com.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Yeah, for six more programs. Oh, my God, look who's here. True Brit, our British ambassador. Where have you been?
I have actually been gainfully employed. I'm very sorry to have to tell you that.
You've been working?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have indeed. I'm very sorry about that.
Well, that's right, but good for you, Brit.
Well, yes, yes. And unfortunately, it's been in the bosom of the Republican breast.
Well, I was going to ask, are you back working for MI5?
Or? Well, I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
You'd have to kill me. I understand.
No, actually, it's very interesting. And when it's probably your last show, I'll try and shoehorn my way in and tell you who it is exactly I'm working for, because it makes me sick every day.
Well, just take their money, pal.
Oh, I do.
Take
I do. And that's the funny thing, actually, is that every 2 weeks when they pay me, I put my money into my favorite Democratic candidate's coffers. And so in a sort of a sick, perverse way, they're actually paying for the Democrats to win this November.
There you go. Well, can you tell us, is it in Chicago?
Yes.
It is in Chicago. Okay, we'll let it lie there now.
It would be, let's see, if you like ice cream...
Oh, God, what a clue.
Yes, if you like ice cream...
You're driving an ice cream truck.
No, but the fellow I work for used to drive one.
Oh, my.
And he's a Republican Senate candidate.
Oh, my. This is getting thicker and thicker. And
yes. As
it's getting thicker, we're running out of time.
So as I was sitting here listening to all of your highly educated callers, I'm sitting here on the computer and just...
Yeah.
Running down a few of the things I want to go over.
Oh, true, Brit. You've got about 40 seconds left.
Well, unfortunately, there's about 40 topics, so I can't do that.
Oh, my God. What are you going to be doing tomorrow night, Friday night? I'm not asking you out for a date or anything. I'm just wondering. So maybe.
Good God, no. I'm a married man. I've forgotten what dating's all about.
Right.
Although I do want to say congratulations to you. I assume it's you and Kathy on the independence.
Well, I assume it's me, too. But, you know, that's why the Jewish faith is so advanced. Your Jewishness only passes through the woman.
Absolutely.
Because you always know who the mother is.
So, in that case, I will go ahead and save this wonderful document I've made up as all these people have called in this evening. I shall call you tomorrow earlier.
Okay, I would appreciate it. Thank you, True Brit.
You're very welcome. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. You take care. I just love the dry, droll British humor. Don't you? Program produced tonight here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. Mark Marshall is our webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Go there. Check it out. Go to the gallery page. Look at the two albinos I was up against on Fox last Saturday. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. I shall see you tomorrow night. I hope. I really hope. Take care. I'll tell you.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004. No more lies, no more, no
more lies. Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful.